11 o'clock a.m., hour number two of the Blitz starts right now. A little bit of a change just happened in the studio. I was not prepared for, but I am excited for. We've had Davison here for, 2 weeks-ish now?
Yeah.
On a little bit of a rotating schedule. Davis has been learning the ropes, learning how to run the board. It is a complicated thing, let me tell you. It's not easy. Chance has been teaching him.
It ain't that hard, Davis. You got it. Davis is a pro.
I know.
He's learned from the best. You learned from the best.
I did. Chance taught me that exact same thing a couple years ago.
A lot of people around here. But nah, it is stressful sometimes. All those buttons, all those lights. I've been there before. Get a little stage fright. Davis is going to do well.
We got Davis running the board for the first time. I'm excited. If you would like to give the show a call, Davis will answer you.
He'll be answering you.
He'll be answering the phone lines. 865-546-8200. So earlier today in the opening drive, we talked a little bit about how Tennessee has a astounding number of 7 retirees just in the last 6 to 7 months from the football program. One of those being Melvin McBride, as we learned yesterday, who was a 2019 recruit. He was only on campus for 2 weeks before the medical staff shut him down for good. We don't know the exact reason for what that was yet, but nonetheless, Melvin McBride, I guess, will still be working with the team a little bit.
Well, I ran across this from David Ubbin.
Okay.
From The Athletic. He said, this is yesterday afternoon, "For what it's worth, probably not fair to lump McBride's retirement in with the previous 8 in the last 20 months. Those were mostly injuries that never healed. McBride's situation sounds like more of a medical anomaly. With that being said, the Vols offensive line will still feel the impact in coming years."
A medical anomaly?
Yeah, so sounds something more like the Trey Smith situation.
Okay.
So yeah, just some outliers, you know, some things that just, you know, freak, you know, accidents or just freak occurrences.
I'm glad you bring up Trey Smith along with McBride, because Jeremy Pruitt talked yesterday about both of those guys. Talked a little bit about McBride, you know, gave us the unfortunate news of you know, confirming that his tweet was real, that he would be retiring. But then he gave some good news on Trey Smith. Brandon, which one would you like to hear first? Would you like to get the good news or the not-so-good news?
Oh, yeah, I saw some of this.
Give me the bad news first.
Bad news first. The bad news is that McBride is done. Pruitt says, "Melvin is a great young man, and my heart breaks for him and his family. However, I'm glad that we have an outstanding medical staff that did a great job identifying the problem when Melvin first arrived here. So it sounds like nobody knew of anything coming into this beforehand. It sounds like the Tennessee staff, you know, obviously identified this right away when he got here." Pruitt says, "We are always going to do what's best for our student athletes here at Tennessee. He has certainly evolved for life and will continue to be a big part of our program."
Okay, that wasn't too bad. I mean, nothing we didn't know already. All right, good news.
Good news offers a little bit on Trey Smith.
Oh.
He says, "Trey has done absolutely everything this offseason. He's probably in the best shape of his life."
Yep.
"When he got here, he weighed 360 pounds. Now he weighs 321. He does absolutely everything everyone on our team does. The only thing that he does not do is have contact." So I guess it's not absolutely everything, but oh well. "So that goes along with the medicine he's taking. He's working hard along with his family and his doctors to create a plan for him to hopefully one day be able to resume playing at Tennessee." Last part, he says, "Our medical staff did a fantastic job recognizing the situation and monitoring it through the year. Had a really good plan and at a point decided it was in his best interest to shut him down." Now that's obviously talking reference to when they made the call and when they pulled the trigger on that. But a couple things stand out to me just from that quote. Jeremy Pruitt is extremely optimistic in what he's saying about Trey Smith, right? He's saying he's in the best shape of his life. He's doing everything. He is barely limited at all in whatever he's doing. But then he comes around and he says, and the doctors, he's been working hard along with his family and his doctors to create a plan to hopefully one day be able to resume playing at Tennessee. To you, do you take that as, you know, hey, it's only a matter of time? Or do you take it as, if it happens, he'll be ready for it. If it doesn't, that's just the way that life goes.
The second one.
Yeah, I kind of did too.
Yeah. I mean, just the situation that he, or the condition that he has, I mean, that's not something that, I mean, you don't, I mean,
which is
you kind of you saw it with Chris Bosch. I mean, he never came back. I don't know if Trey Smith will.
It's not
obviously
worth it.
Obviously he wants to, but if you can't, you can't. And as much as a difference maker as he would be for this offensive line, given the situation that we've just been talking about with all the offensive linemen that have retired due to medical reasons, as much as he would help you, it's not worth risking his well-being and his life just for some football games. So, I mean, if he is able to play, great. If not,
also great.
Oh, well.
You know, like, I mean, it would, you know, it's disappointing, but
yeah, I mean,
everybody knows what's going on with them. You know, nobody should, you know, have any, you know, qualms that, oh, Trey, no, get him back out there. Nah, like, it's not worth it. It's one thing, football already wears down the body just from, you know, the hits that these guys take, especially when you're a guy on the offensive line, the trenches, hits to the heads, constant pounding over and over and over, and the long-term effects, more or less trying to put yourself out there with, you know, the health, you know, scare that he has had.
And I mean, if I'm this coaching staff, and as a Tennessee fan, I'm going and just assuming that he won't play. If he does, I'll be pleasantly surprised. But I would plan as if he's not going to.
Yeah, I'm with you too.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I mean, nothing to me stands out as, no, hey, it's just a matter of time at this point. He'll be back soon.
Yeah, but I mean, with that, what he has, there's not really a timetable for it. I mean, it's just if he can go, he can go. If not, he can't. There's literally nothing you can do. I mean, I feel like they have whatever it is. I feel like they've got it under control, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because he had the initial scare. And then they got that figured out. He's going to try it again. And then had some more problems. And now we're back where we are. We're where we are now.
Hypothetically, say he is able to come back. Pruitt says he's in the best shape of his life. He is down 39 pounds. He's over at 321. He is, I guess, everything but helmet-on-helmet contact for the most part. So he is still in football shape, I guess, if you will, at least as far as you can get without, you know, putting your hand in the dirt and actually playing. But you got to think about it, right, as to what does the future hold. Trey Smith played left tackle last season, but what, he started as a guard, I believe it was.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And so, you know, then you have Darnell Wright and Wanya Morris added into the mix. I mean, that's a
Brandon Kennedy.
Brandon Kennedy. Back. Dare I say that that's a could be a scary offensive line?
If they can stay healthy.
Dare I say?
If they can stay healthy.
Just say it.
And the problem is, you don't really have depth.
No.
Yeah, if everyone stays healthy, yeah, it could be a pretty good offensive line. But you don't have depth at the offensive line position. It's been part of the problem. You have these guys go down in the middle of the year, and then you have nobody to step up and replace them.
And it's not even like you have, Right, like it's not an instance where Tennessee's issue is a lack of good depth either. Right? It's not like somebody goes out and you're just, you know, you have a bunch of guys to put in, but you know, none of them are really developed or they haven't hit the point where you would like them to yet. Is that you don't have much depth at all. As we said earlier, Antonetti, Brooks, Hall, Crosby, McBride now, they're all gone. And just this offseason, I believe that four of those guys were people you had last year. One of those guys is somebody you expected to have this year that will not be there.
Yeah, I mean, most of these guys you had, I mean, pretty new guys to campus, guys that Pruitt had recruited, kind of had a lot of promise for. I mean,
everybody but Hall, pretty much, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Hall was definitely a Butch Jones guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But, I mean, and like the David Ubbin tweet said, I mean, with all these guys going out and hanging it up, the offensive line, I mean, it's going to be hurting for a while until you, I mean, you, if you're Pruitt, you've got to start signing more offensive linemen, more defensive linemen, because
you don't have any.
No, you don't. And as Rick was saying, not only do you not have quality depth, you just don't have depth, period. That's not, and in this league, it's just something you have to have.
Nah, yeah, too deep needs to be strong. They don't have a lot of it. It's going to be the same problems this year. Offensive line, it's probably what's going to be for the Jared Garantano lovers. I never had an offensive line. I know Rick likes him, and you know.
Well, he hasn't.
He hasn't, but he still hasn't shown you anything. Also, when he has gotten the protection, that's a whole other story. But yeah, I mean, like the offensive line, that's going to be a sticking point that this coaching staff for quite some time. Not even just, you know, for the next couple of seasons. Like you said, it might even affect. It's going to affect them this year. Probably affect them for the next couple of years with the way these guys are. And how does it happen? Just
yeah,
always losing.
That's the thing.
I mean, I guess that is the anomaly of it too. Like it's random occurrences that Tennessee keeps having these offensive linemen drop like flies. But man, something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the tweet said. Most of those are just nagging injuries that never heal, force you to hang it up, and then you've got a situation like Melvin McBride, you've got Trey Smith situation. There's nothing you can do in these situations. It's not a strength and conditioning thing. It's not anything like that, I don't think. So I mean, there's nothing you can do. It's just tough break. It's just tough break. And you just gotta roll with it.
A lot of tough breaks.
And as a Tennessee fan, we should be very accustomed to tough breaks.
Chance said a second ago, we'll have that conversation a different day or at another time in reference to Jared Garantano. Well, I'm ready to have that conversation next. I've been ready for it, all right?
You're such a Garantano lover. Let's do it. Let's go.
You're right. I am.
Break it
down. Stats are behind me to prove it. That and more coming up next on The Blitz. .11:17 back here on The Blitz. Just a little over 30 minutes left in the show, but not to worry. We have a packed 30 minutes for you. Recap real quick what all we've talked about today. First and foremost, it is champion season. The Blues are the new Stanley Cup champions. The Toronto Raptors are looking to complete their journey to being NBA champions later today. The U.S. Open is underway as, I guess, Brooks Koepka looks to defend his title over there at that course. What is that, Pebble Beach?
Yes.
Pebble Beach. Talking a little bit about Tennessee football. It's an important thing. What's even more important, though, is the quarterback for Tennessee. Jarrett Garantano has had a lot of criticism. All right, and I think that plenty of it is deserved. Plenty of it is deserved, right? But my thing for the whole Jarrett Garantano era here at Tennessee is you don't have anyone better. Keller Christ was not better than Jarrett Garantano was. Everybody wanted to see him, though.
I don't know if he wasn't better, though. I don't know if he wasn't better than him. I think that they were equally probably – they're both mediocre. I don't know if he wasn't better because there were certain – what was the game last year where he did come in and look pretty good there at the end?
It was Alabama.
It was Alabama.
I
he looked Chris.
It was not again that he looked good. Like, didn't
– Well, the thing
he
is –
He went
in
against Missouri.
You never saw him start.
Horrid.
You never saw him start. Maybe if he'd have started, I think there might have been a difference. He looked more composed in the pocket to me a lot. The thing about Garantano, all right, he's supposed to be a dual threat quarterback. I don't see he's any type of dual threat. I mean, maybe he's a pocket passer to me. He moves around in the pocket somewhat, not really a lot. The offensive line, not great. We'll give him that.
He was sacked on about 25% of his dropbacks last year. 25% of the called pass plays, he was getting sacked. There were people.
But I don't
in
necessarily
his face.
Know if we don't.
That's you, one out of four, Rick.
I know.
It's one out of every four.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
How are you supposed to be a quarterback? How are you supposed to do good quarterback things if one out of every four called pass plays?
All right, but think about the
somebody
times,
right in your face.
What about even when they were playing some of the lesser teams, and they are getting the protection there? He still didn't look that great. Like he'll get locked in on one receiver a lot. He doesn't go through a lot of progression. And I know it's tough, yeah, if he's getting sacked one out of four times, and it's a heavy rush. But I'm talking about when they were playing the teams that they were out there boat racing, he still looked bad some of those games when he's supposed to go out there and throw for about 400 yards. Like, I don't know.
Right.
We might have some guys – you don't know if that's right. Like whenever they were beating up on some of those teams,
right? When he was pressured, he was sacked about 25% of all of his dropbacks last year. So you know he was pressured a whole heck of a lot more than that. He completed an SEC high 52.9% of his passes when he was being pressured. So he was good then. Like I don't even think it's an excuse to call him out on, you know, like. Hey, you know, he couldn't do anything when he was under pressure. He always folded. I think, you know, I'm not saying that that's what you said right now, but a lot of people have said that over the years, right? Like, the second he sees something in his face, like, yeah, he'll take the hit, but can he do anything with it? No. That's not true. He was the best in the SEC at 52.9% of his passes, which is honestly kind of close to the percentage rate, you know, when he wasn't being pressured, but he was the third highest in the SEC, hey. Passer rating under pressure behind Jake Bentley and Tagovailoa?
Tagovailoa. If you want to be a Jarrett Garantano apologist, you go ahead.
An apologist? He completed an SEC high 52.9%. That's not apologizing. That's giving people the facts. The facts is that he doesn't get enough credit for what he does under the pressure.
He's not a good quarterback. He's not going to get you anywhere.
We haven't seen him at his
potential yet. If they had an offensive line that was competent, that was just middle of the road, he still is not going to be a great quarterback. The kid, whenever he looks, he keeps his eye on one target so much, his ball is not that crisp. Yeah, I mean, you want to give some credit that he's learned how to escape duress? Yeah, in 2 years, if you don't have a pocket that protects you a line that protects you and you don't have a pocket, you better learn how to be able to throw it whenever you're getting sacked. That's a product. If he had a strong line, I still don't believe he'd be anything. And I think that he'll get his starting position taken at some point this year.
He had a passer rating last year of 141. He had about 2,000 passing yards, 63% completion percentage, 12 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I don't know how we're calling that bad. I don't know how 2,000 passing yards on 63% completion and 53% when he was under pressure is he's only targeting one receiver. I don't understand that.
He
argument.
Does though, Rick. I'm not like trying to like debate or try to go at the kid, but like he just does. Like I mean that is like I'm not trying to go at Jarrett Garantano. We've all watched him play, even in times he just. He never looks good. He's not going to be anybody that can take you to win. And yeah, his quarterback rating, okay. He was number 8 overall out of 14 quarterbacks. Middle of the road. He's an average quarterback at best. Is he anything better than average? Do you think even with he would be better than average?
There are quarterbacks that I would like. I think there are probably 4 to 5 quarterbacks in the SEC right now that I would
take
above
taken.
Him.
I would have taken every quarterback last year over him in the SEC. Kellen Mond, Joe Burrow, Jordan Tiamo at Ole Miss, Terry Wilson, Nick Fitzgerald, Jarrett Stidham.
Oh.
Every quarterback
Terry
you're taking,
Wilson.
You're I would have taken Terry Wilson over Jarrett Garantano. Yeah, I would have.
No, I'm not going with you there.
I mean, he had a big game against Florida. He had some big plays for them. I would take Terry Wilson over Jarrett Garantano. Kyle Shermer, Jake Bentley, Jake Fromm, obviously. Felipe Franks, I'd take over Garantano. Drew Locke, of course. Tua Tagovailoa, of course. Only other one that maybe not. Ty Story, don't know much about him from Arkansas. And Arkansas wasn't good last year, so I'm probably not taking him.
I think the story on Jarrett Garantano is that we haven't seen what he can do with a good offensive scheme and a good offensive line. And what he has been able to do without those things, I think is very good.
He's had
I think
one
is absolutely overachieving.
Good week the entire time of his starting career, Auburn. He played lights out at Auburn. He was by far the best SEC offensive player that week. He deserved that offensive player of the week. That's the only week he's just been great.
I mean, I don't know if we have enough evidence and the evidence what we have seen of Garantano, I don't know if you can make a judgment off of.
I still saw him continue to try to get in, try to score one against South Carolina, and he couldn't do that on the two.
I just still think it's too early. I mean, yeah, maybe he has bad instincts. I mean, the guy's been here since 2016. He's had a different offensive coordinator every year he's been here, a different quarterbacks coach every year he's been here. In 2016, there was no quarterbacks coach. It was a grad assistant.
Yeah.
In 2017, Mike Canales. 2018, Tyson Helton. Now you got
Big Jim.
Well, Chaney is offensive coordinator. Winky's coaching. Whatever it is, he's coaching. I think he's helping out with quarterbacks. Whatever it is, whoever it is. Anyway, it's been a different offensive coordinator, different quarterback coach every year he's been here. And the offensive line has struggled. You pointed that out. I just think it's too soon. And I mean, people were saying the same thing about Jonathan Crompton in 2008. Oh, he's terrible. He's terrible. He's never going to do anything. They were saying the same thing in the offseason between the 2008 and 2009 season. I just think it's too soon to make a judgment. He may come out and may not, and you may be right, Chance. He may not do anything, and he may get his starting job taken by the end of the season.
It'll be midseason.
And
there's no way.
And Rick, you could be right. He could come out. He could win this thing and turn out to be a pretty good SEC quarterback and kind of solidify himself as a leader on this team and be a pretty good quarterback. I just think there's not enough evidence right now. We've not seen enough consistent. I mean, he's not had enough consistency with him. I mean, like I said, the offensive coordinators, the offensive line, there's just so much. I think if you give him those things, we'll see. And I mean,
he's got Jim Chaney this
Jim
year.
Jim Chaney's
we'll see.
Supposed to be, I mean, quarterback whisperer. We'll see. I mean, if he comes out this year and struggles.
No,
then,
if he struggles this year, it's just going to be offensive line because all the offensive linemen are going down. I just think you got to see a little glimpse of greatness in a guy to know if he's going to be the guy. I haven't seen anything that's like comfortably made me think that, oh, yeah, Jarrett Garantano. Once this team gets going, Jarrett Garantano can, you know, help Tennessee compete for SEC East title once they get the right pieces. Even if they got the right pieces, I still don't have any faith.
So a 63%, any faith. 63% of his passes made, 141 quarterback.
Oh, yeah,
rate,
and one of those, throwing that 63, 76% against Charlotte last year. Let's break down like his big games. You know, like he got to power through some of this stuff.
The games where he had 2 seconds of a pocket.
You got to power through some of this stuff and show something. You got to. I haven't seen anything. Rick. Okay, so like I guess we're gonna say he's great when they play crappy teams. When they don't play crappy teams, he's okay. I mean, he's mediocre.
Our
best.
Team sucks when we don't play crappy teams. Like that's what it. The whole team sucks.
Jared Garantano ain't the guy. I'll stand by that until he's gone off the campus over there. I don't see it in the guy. I just really don't. I don't think that he's ever. I think that whether it's Trout or. Who else do we got right now? The other guy that's behind him, I can't think of his name right now.
Maurer.
Ryan Maurer. You might see one of those guys take the position.
I think if he puts up the exact same stats, he's not going to get pulled. And I do think he probably does put up better stats. Just he's got
we'll
a better
see.
Offense with him.
79 days away. We will see.
I mean, I don't think – I mean, unless he just comes out and is terrible, I don't see him. Losing his job. I mean, if that was the case, they would have done it last year. If they really thought
when you had a better backup
that you weren't getting anywhere with this guy, why not roll with Shrout last year? If that's the case.
Ease him in, Brandon. Ease him in.
Ease I mean, there's no
who,
easing
wait,
in.
Wait, who are you easing in?
There's no easing
Shrout?
In on this
because
schedule.
He didn't play.
Ease him in by saying like he said, why didn't you play him last year? Ease him into position. Let him get 1 year in. I mean, I'm scared Garantano. All right, guys, like you guys say that there's not enough evidence. I say he's never going to lead you anywhere. That's just my stance.
But that's not what my stance has been. My stance has been the evidence is out.
You're okay. Your stance is the evidence is out, and you think that his team has failed him, and he could be he is a good quarterback. We will see. We will see if he puts up those same numbers and Tennessee does anything, because that's what great quarterbacks do. We'll see. That's the only thing we can. We'll wait and see. Just like I guess we have to wait and see because Tennessee doesn't have an offensive line. I don't really know what else. I don't think that he's going to be the guy that's ever. He's not the guy. Like for Tennessee to get back to where Tennessee is, it's not going to be Jared Garantano taking them to that promised land. It's going to be. Probably a Brian Maurer or a Harrison Bailey or the guy that Jim Chaney went out and got that you liked his name Haynes King, somebody like that.
Well, I mean, I don't think
it's going to be a quarterback of the future. It's not going to be Garantano.
Well,
and maybe that's because they don't have the pieces right now, or maybe that's just because he's just not really that good.
I mean, I don't think anybody's.
This is not our season to show the world that. You know, we're a powerhouse.
I didn't say that. I'm saying if it was our season, I don't think he's the guy. Jared Garantano sucks.
Whoa.
He sucks.
Wrong. That's wrong.
I think he sucks. You may not think he does. It's my opinion. He sucks.
Hey,
he's not ever going to be the guy.
Yo one stinks.
He's never going to be the guy. He's never going
to
be the guy, Rick.
He is the guy. He would have gotten pulled
last
year if he wasn't
the guy. They'd win more than four games.
He is the guy.
Just because he's in the position. Butch Jones was also the coach, but he wasn't the guy that we needed.
Jared Garantano like has an expiration date. He's going to be out of school. He's your guy for right now. He is your guy for the rebuilding process. They showed that. They showed that last year.
He's not the guy, as I throw up the air quotes. The guy. He's not going to be the guy.
Then this isn't the team.
He is your quarterback because that's all you have right now. Exactly what you guys said just a little bit ago. He's your quarterback because that's all you have. But he's never going to be anything that's going to win you anything. Boom.
I mean, yeah, because the rest of the talent isn't developed enough yet.
Don't care if the talent was there, Rick. He'll still never be the guy that's going to win you anything. He could have a 4-star offensive line. Still going to be mediocre, Jarrett Garantano.
We have different opinions on the word mediocre, but we'll leave that there. If you got an opinion, go ahead and give us a call at 865-546-8200. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Coming up on the other side of the break, we have a couple more stories to talk about, a little bit of college basketball news, a little bit of NBA news. We will bring you all that and more. You are listening to The Blitz. This is America. Back here on The Blitz, 11:36. Two more segments up ahead of the rest of the show. Take you into Talk Sports with John, with Cody, with Ben, with Cam, I'm sure. They got great stuff. They got a great show ahead. So, we haven't heard anything about this lately, but the college basketball trial is still turning. Still going its way through. The latest thing that we heard about came this morning. A high-ranking NCAA official told CBS Sports on Wednesday that at least 6 Division I men's basketball programs will receive notices of allegations for Level 1 violations, the most serious infractions under NCAA rules, as a result of the federal government's investigation into the corruption of the sport. Now, there are a lot of schools this could be. I mean, just off the top, assistant coaches from 4 schools have pleaded guilty to accepting bribes. That would be Arizona, Auburn, Oklahoma State, and Southern California. Then you have testimony or evidence presented against coaches from Creighton, Kansas, Louisville, NC State, Oregon. Then you have officials at Arizona, Kansas, Louisville, NC State, and USC have previously acknowledged that their men's basketball programs are under NCAA investigation. So you have a lot of schools that are kind of right in the middle of just the slop right now. We don't know who these six teams are going to be. I guess it's going to come out soon which ones those are going to be. But, man, for these 6 schools, a lot of these schools are some of the perennial schools in college basketball right now. You're looking at your Kansas. You're looking at your Arizona, your Auburn, your, I guess, USC, your Louisville, right? And Level 1 infractions are about to just be rained down on them. Not a good look for those schools. Will not be good for them.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of what we expected when all this started to come out. Like, what was that? A year and a half, 2 years ago, however long.
Yeah, about a year and a half ago, coming up.
Whenever it first came out, it changed the landscape of college basketball. This is what we expected. It took a while.
Well, this is what we hoped for, too. Like, I mean, NCAA finally, like, maybe actually about to do something. Like, who would have thought? Who would have thought? Like, just nothing ever happens to any type of, you know, big blue, any blue blood program. So, promising, right?
So, we still have a little bit of time to go. We'll receive notices of allegations does not mean it's going to be, you know, by the end of the week. Apparently, Stan Wilcox, who is the NCAA's Vice President of Regulatory Affairs, said that 2 programs might receive notices by early July, and that 4 more will probably receive them by the end of the summer. So, you know, some are going to get hit early July, some will get hit, I would assume, mid-August or so, late August. But these will come down. These will rain down on these programs. And I really do think that this will shift the landscape of college basketball.
And Wilcox also, I mean, he also said those top coaches that were mentioned in the trials where the information shows what was being said was a violation of NCAA rules, yes, they will all be part of these notices of allegations. So I think you'll get a couple big name coaches get what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit more than a slap on the wrist. I think I don't know if you'll see any show cause penalties or anything like that, but it's not going
to
be good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm trying to figure out here what a level one violation includes. The title of what a level one is: a severe breach of conduct. Violations that seriously undermine or threaten the integrity of the NCAA model is set forth in the Constitution and bylaws, including any violation that provides, you know, yada, 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 just a bunch of, you know, words that mean the same thing. But nonetheless, a severe breach of conduct. Now, I'd love to find examples of what these penalties might include, just to kind of look, you know, hey, what does this mean for, you know, the Auburns, right? What does this mean for the SEC? What does this mean for college basketball in general? Man, there's a lot that's going to go into this over the next couple of months, and it'll be really interesting to see how some of these schools deal with it. Because as we said, like, a lot of these schools are some of the perennial teams, or some of the best. What's going to happen if they fall off, if they can't recruit the same way, if they get postseason penalties?
Yeah, I mean Auburn just went to a Final Four. Auburn is definitely in the mix in this. Will they have to take their banner down? Will they be stripped of their SEC championship that they won? I don't know. Don't know which of these six or which six schools it will be, but I think this. I don't think this is the end of it. I don't think it's just going to be these six. I think you'll have more. I think there's more to come.
Yeah.
Than just these six, whoever they may be.
Switching gears real quick. Well, we still got a couple minutes left in this segment right here. We had two NBA stories to kind of touch upon real quick. The other one we will save for our very last segment. If you haven't heard, I'm bringing this one up because, Brandon, you have a direct tie, a direct interest into this one. I'd like to get your thoughts. So the Lakers and the Celtics have talked about a deal for Anthony Davis with the Pelicans. I'm trying to figure out if they say what that deal might be. It says, nevertheless, Boston is still determined to trade for Davis, a six-time All-Star and three-time All-NBA selection, and hope that it can also lure Kyrie Irving back to Boston from potentially leaving in free agency. Are you willing to throw basically everything you got, or I guess just a substantial amount, for Anthony Davis? I know that's a broad statement, but
I don't know.
The Lakers are offering the number 4 overall pick, I would assume. So you'd have to be throwing something heavy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm ready to give up all, like, a whole bunch of assets just because you're not guaranteed of Anthony Davis staying past 1 year. And I know you've seen Paul George. He went to Oklahoma City, supposed to be a 1 year rental. He signs a long term deal. You saw one year deal and then signed long term.
Paul George is the one sticking for me right now.
Boogie
was on a 1 year rental as well from Sacramento to New Orleans.
But he's on a 1 year with the Warriors right now, right? So he might stay.
Yeah, but that's more of like, you know, it wasn't a trade rental. Like, he signed with them, you know. He might stay, but he took a lower amount.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I've heard talk about people talking about Kawhi possibly staying.
Yeah, Kawhi might stay and renew his contract, because if he were to do that, he'd get a bigger max contract in the year after. So yeah, I mean, like, there are the advantages of doing it. Then, like, Paul George, I don't think he made the best decision. I think that he should have went to Los Angeles Lakers, like he had said that he wanted to go to Lakers for so long. He is from that area. He would have been playing with LeBron James. I think that even LeBron on the decline of his career is still better than playing with Russell Westbrook in his prime. I still don't think Russell Westbrook is a guy that's great. I just don't think you win with him. So, yeah, I mean, AD, I think if – I mean, if you're the Celtics, I mean, you're a Celtics fan, you probably don't really just want him on a rental. Like, you want him to come. Like, you want to be able to try to sign him.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want – as a Celtics fan, I don't want to give up.
Yeah, all the assets, Jaylen Brown, you know, Jason Tatum, and some future draft picks for a guy that's not even going to plan to sign with you.
Yeah, and then he leaves after a year, and then you have nothing to show for it.
You're depleted, especially if you don't hang on to Kyrie, which I know that, you know, the jury's still out on whether that would help or hurt. But
so, you know, there's all the talk about Kyrie's Nets. What about if Kyrie goes teams back up with LeBron? I think, personally, that's the best thing he could do. No matter if he, like, felt like LeBron tried to big boy him and, like, you know, and then he said he didn't know how to be a leader and he learned a lot from LeBron this year. He kind of went back on that. No matter if he felt like that and he wanted to be a star, that's been the best position for his career. It seems like it's when he's played the best. That's when he's got along with his teammates the best. That's when he's played at the highest level, is when he played with LeBron James. I think they're a hell of a duo together. Their gameplay actually does complement well with each other. I would like to see them join up again, and then if they could trade for AD, I think you have the Lakers push themselves, especially if KD leaves the Warriors, push themselves right into position of being one of the top teams in the West, if not the top team. That's if they were to trade and get Anthony Davis and be able to get Kyrie to team back up with LeBron James. So, we'll see. Free agency, man. I love free agency.
What a time. NBA. What a time to be alive, right? Free agency, especially this year. Just the amount of big names could be on the move. It is really something interesting. All right. There it is. One more segment of The Blitz. If you haven't heard, coming up, recapping some of the some of the funnier sports stories of the day, some of just the funnier stories in general, I don't know. We'll have some good ones coming up. One more segment of The Blitz coming up next. Right, 11:51 here on The Blitz. Couple more minutes left in the show. Talk sports coming up next. Final segment, you know what that means. If you haven't heard... So if you haven't heard, you can now rent Tony Stark's Lakeside Cabin from Avengers Endgame on Airbnb. You just go out there and casually rent that cabin. $800 a night.
It's a little steep.
It's just right outside of Atlanta. We should do a show from Tony Stark's cabin.
You forking out $800?
Well, no, I felt like we would split it four ways.
Not for one night, Brandon?
$800? $200. Did you see the movie?
Yeah, I saw the movie.
And you didn't act like you saw the movie. You should have been more excited about it.
It's just a cabin.
It's Tony Stark's cabin, though.
Tony Stark's cabin, dude.
He doesn't really live there.
He solved the Earth problems there.
But he does.
He figured out the thing. The thing, you know, the thing that made the whole thing work.
But he doesn't.
Spoiler.
He doesn't live there because, spoiler alert, I feel like I've given you enough time if you've not seen Avengers Endgame, Tony Stark is dead.
Wow. Is it too soon? I don't know. I don't know if it's too soon. Is it too soon?
So he does not live there.
Have you not seen the movie and you're upset at Brandon now? Please let me know on Twitter. I would love to know this. Are you mad at Brandon?
He doesn't care if they were upset.
I gave.
He's
fair...
known spoiler alert guy.
Not spoiler guy. I gave plenty of warning on that.
You did give plenty of warning. You did. # don't spoil the endgame.
Hmm. You hate to see it, Brandon. You just hate to see it.
If you've not seen the movie by now, you're not going to see it.
Is it even still in theaters?
Yes.
It is still in theaters, yeah. So Brandon's running for a lot of people. Former Auburn and Akron coach Terry Bowden, Bobby's boy, is back in college football. He's going to assist Clemson's football staff as an unpaid intern while he pursues a graduate degree at Clemson. Bowden's 63. He's enrolled in a graduate program for athletic leadership at Clemson, And he spent the past seven seasons coaching Akron, as I just said, where he went 35-52 before being fired this past December. Tigers say no timetable on how long he will assist them. But remember Bowden? His best time was with Auburn, the Tigers. But he's coached Akron, Auburn, FCS, Samford, and Division II Salem College, Division II North Alabama.
Unpaid internship. That sounds like myself.
Also, in other news, the Cleveland Cavaliers have hired University of California, Berkeley women's coach Lindsey Gottlieb to be an assistant coach in John Beilein's staff, announced today, or yesterday, excuse me. Final Four and seven-time NCAA tournament head coach for the Golden Bears, Gottlieb is the first women's collegiate head coach to be recruited to an NBA staff. She's going to sign a four-year contract and join up with Beilein and associate head coach J.B. Bickerstaff. So, NBA, Adam Silver's trying to get a lot of more female coaches into the game.
Yeah, I mean,
they got one more, and they actually went after her. Like, they like did like recruiting. She's she's been trying to get an NBA job for a while, watching a lot of the Warriors practice with Steve Kerr. I think she went to a Clippers camp too before in the past. So, look at the NBA, all inclusive.
Spurs have a female coach, right? Is it Spurs?
Yes, they do.
Becky Hammon. Yeah. They do. She is probably the most notable one that is likely to get a head coaching job first in the NBA being the first female. I think she'll probably get that one first.
If you can coach, you can coach. That's what we say here on the Blitz. So we say it every day.
We do.
We might.
I don't know if I've. I'm probably said.
Well,
before.
Today's the
I'm
day
not,
we start.
I've never said every
right?
day though. Like I say,
today's
like, I
the day we start.
If so you
are you
going to
say that every
you can coach?
Yeah.
So every day you're going to say that from here on out.
I will try.
Okay.
Maybe
we're going to keep a counter of the days that you don't say it.
Hey, tomorrow, Flag Day. Be there. The Blitz. We're ready for it. Flag Day. Yep, Brandon. I'm coming back to Monday. Tomorrow's Flag Day. We'll be here. Talk Sports is next. Davis, Chance, Brandon. My name is Rick. We'll see you tomorrow. 48% of young